personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Probably bothered you a lot less than it bothered me, Dal, because you're a Washington fan, so maybe watching the Eagles lose wasn't the worst thing ever. But I could not stand the finish to that Super Bowl. That was horrible.
Are you talking the penalty, or are you talking just the fact that it was yet another, like, oh, here it comes, the Chiefs are going to win again?
Not even that. It really... I saw one meme where they compared it to Game of Thrones, and this is going to go down as one of the greatest Super Bowls ever. Oh, the ending sucked. And like, yeah, that dampened it just as a viewer. You're like, oh, this was going from a back and forth epic Super Bowl to, oh, we're just going to watch a team squat on the ball three times and kick a field goal, and we'll just waste the last 2 minutes. That's a shame. But on top of that, and I know that people just think of this differently. And yes, I always blame the ref and social media. It's not the ref's fault. It's really the NFL's fault for being so stringent with this stuff. I am a let them play if it's ticky-tacky fan. There are some people that are the... If you line up and your two front fingers are even with the ball, then you're offside. So you have to be penalized 5 yards because the rules are the rules. That is very much not me. I want a penalty to actually impact the game in some way. I would not have called that holding penalty.
Well, here's the thing, though. So you're saying don't call it, but then if they don't call it, and let's say it's just a tad more egregious. Let's say it's just a little bit more.
I mean, if he straight up yanked him and spun him,
but like let's add 10% more holding. To that holding.
All right, he gets one more finger on him.
And it slows him down just a little bit more, and they don't call it. Then all you have is Chiefs fans. Actually, you probably don't, because the guy probably kicks a field goal and wins it anyway. Well, my issue with it is, why is everyone complaining about that one call?
Because here's what it ultimately comes down to. We're all aware that the Eagles' defense, that entire second half. We have eyeballs. Part of me, though, thinks if players lose themselves a football game, that's fine. A ref should not be involved in any capacity. If the players screw it up for 99% of the game and then the ref screws it up for 1% of the game, I still think that's 1% too much from the ref.
I tweeted this, and I don't know if anybody cares, but I thought to myself, everybody's focusing on this one play because it's at the end. Mm-hmm. Nobody gives a crap about... To me, the turning point wasn't quite that obvious. I mean, or it was. It was 21-7. Eagles have the ball, and they're moving. I mean, they had dominated.
You're talking about the Hurts fumble?
Yes.
It was actually 14-7 at that point, and that tied the friggin' game.
But they were
hold on to the ball.
They were dominating the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were throwing up the numbers, the total numbers, the number of first downs, and it was like, this is a butt kicking. This is, holy crap, Jalen Hurts is going to Disneyland here in about 2 hours kind of a game. And then he just puts it on the carpet.
Yeah.
Sorry, not carpet, turf. Or grass. It was actually grass.
The weird Arizona dome with the real grass that they've had since 06 that has always been crap. But then on top of that, they put an experimental new grass in for this one game. You experiment at the Super Bowl?
Who cares?
I don't really think that had that much of an effect. It did seem like it slowed down both pass rushes a bit.
But they whine about this defensive holding thing, which
he didn't throw that anywhere near a receiver.
If this surprised you that there was a defensive holding call that gave a team a first down without really giving them much yardage to extend a drive, then you haven't been paying attention very much in NFL football. This happens in every game, sometimes multiple times. It's
I think it's a bad look for the league, too. I had this discussion with some friends the other day, that we've had two consecutive Super Bowls in which the game-winning drive for the winning team required the assistance of a third down, last year, phantom holding call. Logan Wilson never grabbed anyone. I mean, he literally never grabbed anyone on that
one play. Really was a no call.
Or in this one, a very ticky-tacky call. And it's like, you know, I would like to see my Super Bowl champion. Like, let's get a little Joe Montana against the Bengals in here. Like, no, he's just driving. He's driving. You just can't stop him. And then, bam, is in the end zone. He doesn't need a ticky-tacky hold. Tom Brady says, oh, I'm playing the Legion of Boom defense. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, Julian Edelman, touchdown. Look at that. I scored. I didn't need 2 years in a row now, we've got NBA officiating at the end of the Super Bowl. I don't like... Here's the thing, though. I talk about it because of the situation. I don't really like ticky-tacky officiating at any point in the game. I mean, if it's, like, barely there and you don't really think it affected the play, I would just not call it. I would say, you know what?
Here's the thing, though. They're not allowed to...
And that's why I said that's the NFL's fault.
They're not allowed to use... That's the part that bugs me about NFL officiating. Now, I disagree with the whole, this cost them the game. No, it didn't. It didn't cost anybody anything. You just didn't like it.
It cost him about a minute and 30 seconds, okay, though.
But you're telling me over the course of a game that...
No, it didn't. It wasn't 100% responsible. It cost them a minute and a half.
Didn't waste themselves a minute and a half somewhere else? Anyway, I prefer to look at it that way. But what bothers me is that they go out and they grab supposedly the most qualified referees for these big games.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is they don't allow them to use any of their experience. They say, this is the rule. We're emphasizing these things this year. This is how we want this called. Go out. They're basically sheriffs. Is what they are. They are going out and they are enforcing the rules as the league wants them enforced. They're not going out and saying, okay, my 30 years of experience says I should let that go. They don't let them do that. I don't know if they ever did, but they don't let them do it now.
I that's kind of what I hinted at earlier when I said it's the NFL's fault. It's not actually the referee, the side judge there that threw the flag did nothing wrong. I don't think that guy should be the one that we're all mad at, even though that's kind of instinctual. It's the league who doesn't let them use, you know, intuition in the slightest. They would rather it just be AI-generated flags on every play like it's a Madden game.
And the thing is, we're going to go that direction if people don't get over it.
And on top of that, the other part is it immediately sprung to mind. I don't know if you remember Jim Harbaugh. When he lost the Super Bowl to his brother.
Yeah.
And his explanation of what he was told on the field as to why there wasn't pass interference on the fourth and goal play. That, if you kind of remember that, Kaepernick just threw Michael Crabtree a fade. Lots of contact. He and the defender, they're just pushing each other. They're getting under that ball. Ball goes right off the fingertips of Crabtree. And he gets up and he's looking for a flag. He says, come on, there's a bunch of contact. Jim Harbaugh says he asked the official about it. And the official told him, in that scenario, I'm going to let the boys play. That's what Jim Harbaugh was told by the referee who did not throw the flag. And then here we are, 10 years to the day, not to the day, but exactly 10 years later, 10 Super Bowls later, there's no more of that. The referee just said, oh, sorry, you got three fingertips hooked into a bit of cloth.
Well, not only that, I would argue that they'll probably, I don't know. I just think people are focusing on the wrong plays. If you're going to give up 38 points in the Super Bowl, I don't know that you get to go afterwards and complain about the officiating. You gave up 38 points. You gave up a double-digit lead in the second half.
That's almost part of the funny bit of this, though.
And I'm not even blaming the Philly defense. I'm not blaming anyone. Guess what? It was a game, and the game went that way. I don't understand the whining. Defense.
They were really bad in the second half.
I just don't understand.
They didn't cover anybody.
I just don't understand the whining, though. I mean, didn't you watch? When I was a kid, the Super Bowl was a blowout more than it wasn't.
Well, and that's the funny part, is it's not actually the Eagles that are whining. Every single Eagles player came out, and when reporters...
They were very classy.
They tried to leave. They said James Bradbury what did you think of the call and the holding? And he said, you know what? I got a bit of his jersey. I was just hoping they'd let it slide. But I grabbed him. All right. Jason Kelsey said, what did you think of the field conditions out there? He said, Kansas City played on it, too. It's a non-factor. Next question.
And Sirianni, who, I'll be honest, over the course of the year, I did not like him. I thought he was...
But isn't he so Philadelphia?
But I thought he was just super cocky, arrogant. I didn't like him. And at the end of that game, it was like, What did he say? He's like, they were better than us today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Come on, people. Just let this go. Just move on. Here's the crazy thing, though. Don't you think it's weird that the team that lost the game has already lost both of their coordinators to head coaching jobs? And the team that continued, that's gone to the Super Bowl three times in 4 years and won two of them, they still have their coordinators, at least as of today.
Do you suppose that there is something of a factor? We'll get into the Bieniemy thing here in a second. But first and foremost, let's focus on Steve Spagnuolo.
He's already done it, so I could see where...
Do you think that no matter how good he is, there's a part of every team's back of their mind going, yeah, but remember when you were the head coach of the Rams? You were bad.
Well, everybody wants... And, you know, the league is a... is a copycat league. You hear that all the time, which is true. And everybody wants the new hot 30-something coach. And so that's what's getting hired right now. Spagnuolo obviously is not that. Plus, he kind of reminds me of when Washington hired Ron Rivera. They hired Ron Rivera because it's like, we need someone rock solid, if not spectacular.
I like Ron Rivera.
I do too.
He helped the Bears go to the Super Bowl
twice. But I'm just saying, at the time, Washington needed someone that was just going to not piss themselves to be the head coach and be solid, be steady. These other teams are they're swinging for the fence, and sometimes they nail it out of the park, like Sean McVay and wins a Super Bowl. Sirianni, I think, is a home run at least so far what he's done here, and sometimes they don't. Cliff Kingsbury. You know, you get canned and you suck.
Speaking of Bieniemy, though, you hear this news that he might be heading to your Washington Commanders.
I have. And along with it, there's all these little weird stories that are coming out because everybody has been talking about this guy for 5 years. Five years ago, they're like, oh, he's going to be a head coach next year. It comes and goes again.
I think it's because people genuinely are worried, and this is just my theory, they see that and they go, but we all know it's Andy Reid's offense, right? Bieniemy calls the plays, but how much of his fingertips does Andy Reid have in this offense? And I'm guessing Bieniemy is trying to move laterally because it's confusing so many fans. They're like, why would he go away from the Chiefs to take the same job? And I'm guessing it's because he knows, well, you know what? I'm tired of being questioned. I'm going to take my offense to Washington. I'm going to turn them into a good offense, and then you have to respect me and give me a head coaching job.
And I would argue that Washington is in a position where if Bieniemy is successful...
There might be some cash involved as well.
Well, there's that. Yeah, I'm assuming there's a raise involved. But I also assume that maybe, you know, 2-3 years from now, if things go well, maybe you take Ron's job. Maybe, you know, Washington could even be looking down the road that far. That being said, it's just been interesting to me this last couple weeks. They talk about Eric Bieniemy, and I've read multiple things where people are like, well, it's because of how he treats players and he interacts with players, and it's how he interviews, and it's how. And I'm thinking to myself, since when did that matter? Since when did being a dick to your players matter about being a head coach? There is something to all of this about it being more difficult for a black coach to get a head coaching job than it is for a white one. Case in point, these two guys from Philadelphia who, like, within the span of less than a week had head coaching jobs somewhere. Colts, Cardinals, done.
And can I say on top of that, too, the Cardinals narrowed their fine. They were going defensive coach. Because apparently that's what you do in the NFL. You screw up on one end, you go to the other, and you just go back and forth over and over again. I don't know why that's just the theme, but it is.
But
anyhow, their finalists were the Bengals defensive coordinator and the Eagles defensive coordinator. And for Joe Burrow's sake, I'm so glad the Cardinals made the wrong decision. Because Philadelphia had a good defense this year. Because Philadelphia has a stacked roster on defense.
They got a great roster.
Cincinnati has a tendency, and I know they finally lost to the guy. How many defenses would you say actually pull off these clutch plays as often as Cincinnati does against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid's offense? How often did the Bengals win a game against Kansas City because their defense made a huge play when they needed to? Sometimes multiple times. And that defense has Eli Apple as one of the starting corners. It has Logan Wilson. Jermaine Pratt's okay. It's got...
Hey, Logan Wilson's a stud.
I said Logan Wilson.
I know, but you're kind of using this whole thing like they're not very good.
They are not the Philadelphia Eagles roster-wise. They have a very good scheme in place on that defense.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you on that, but going back
I would much rather have taken Cincinnati's defensive coordinator.
But going back to Eric Bieniemy, I guess that's my whole point. The guy has been involved with three Super Bowls in 4 years. They've won two of them. He's worked with one of the most dynamic quarterbacks of all time in his first, 7 years or however many years he's been starter now.
Mm-hmm.
He has been the protege of one of the most successful coaches of all time in the last several half dozen years or however long he's been involved with Andy Reid. Why does he have to continue to justify getting a head coaching shot? That's my point, is these other two guys, one of them was the freaking quarterback of UNLV less than 20 years ago. He's a nobody, Shane Steichen. I covered him when I started writing columns for the Mountain West. I'm just saying he was the starting quarterback for UNLV, and they sucked.
You could also argue, though, that if you're Arizona... And Arizona's not who took him. They ended up taking the defensive coordinator. But they brought him in for an interview, I'm guessing, because they looked at Jalen Hurts and said, our quarterback's similar to him. He's a lot more similar to him than he is to Mahomes.
I guess my point is, I'm not even saying that these guys are bad hires. Like, you've already said one of them you think it is.
I don't think it's a bad hire. I think it's the wrong hire.
But
of the options.
I'm not even saying that. For all I know, they're both going to be very good head coaches where they just got hired. For all I know, they're going to be great. But why do they just get to slide into one? And again, I am not playing the race card. I think you know this about me. I'm not a race guy. But there's something. There's something out there. And is it race? Is it something else? Is it both? It's got to be part of the equation. Because why does Steve Wilks have to justify his head coaching job shot? Why does Todd Bowles have to justify it? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gee, what's this? All those three guys having? Oh, what's all they all have in common? Oh, they're black. I'm sorry, man, but it looks really fishy. It really does.
It's not great.
And I look at Eric Bieniemy, and if he wants to come to Washington, I would be ecstatic.
Especially if he's just going to take his same job.
It's like you come out here, bring some of that winning culture with you. You know, Washington's finally starting to solidify itself. I think it's going to have a new ownership that's probably going to be much more open to change and different things like that.
Well, in Washington,
it's odd to me though that you have to that for some reason he has to still justify him getting a shot. Well, maybe he's not very nice to the players. I don't give a shit. This isn't kindergarten flag football. If he was a white coach, they'd say he's an old school coach, not a players coach. You see where I'm going with this? I don't know what the deal is. I don't. And I'm just some super white bread guy from Wyoming. I mean,
it could be a vast number of things.
So I'm not going to sit here and act like I know what's going on. I surely don't. There was one African American kid in my entire class Brandon, how you doing? But I just, there's something that ain't right with the whole process of it, whether it's still the good old boys network, whether it's just subconscious or what. But I would love, in fact, I'd love either one of them. I'd love Eric Bieniemy or Greg Roman. Greg Roman, of course, is a white guy. But I'm just saying, if I'm watching, I would take either one of them in a heartbeat because I think they're both good. But anyway.
Greg Roman, I was really on board with him when we were hiring a new coach last offseason. And there is part of me now that is scratching my head a little bit as I look into him and I go, are Ravens fans onto something? Or is Tyler Huntley just that bad? In that, when he has Lamar Jackson, he can tailor his offense around Lamar. And we're all very impressed with how he tailored that offense. It's a very unique offense. There's other offenses that run, we use our QB to run. But no, none of them block the same way Baltimore does.
Who else has the exact same skill set as Lamar Jackson? Nobody.
But that offense isn't just, this is an offense I designed for mobile quarterback. No, that was an offense he said, I designed this offense for Lamar
Jackson.
That's impressive. On the flip side, then you go, okay, well, how do you do when you don't have a league MVP quarterback?
Well,
how's your offense look with Tyler Huntley? Oh, it looks very bad. But I also had Tyler Huntley. And there is part of me that goes, at some point we're going to learn that answer if he leaves Baltimore. Is he that smart that because he was able to invent this offense around his player? Or does he only have the one offense that works with any extent? He needs Lamar Jackson.
Tyler Huntley is fine. Tyler Huntley is like Geno Smith.
Not this year's Geno Smith.
You just watch. Even Geno Smith this year. How many touchdowns did Geno Smith throw?
I think it was over 30.
Was it 30?
I think it was.
Oh, that kind of ruins my argument. But I feel like he is,
made the Pro Bowl.
Even with his sort of Tyler Huntley. Even with his comeback year, is he going to win you the Super Bowl? No, he's not.
Brock Osweiler won a Super Bowl not that long ago.
Not as a starter.
Peyton Manning was the starter, and Peyton Manning had no good shoulders left.
We're not even going to go into that. But I guess what I'm saying is I feel like I like Tyler Huntley. I watched him in college. He played at Utah. And is he really good at football? Absolutely. Everybody hits in the NFL is really good at football. Is he Lamar Jackson? No, but no one else is. That also being said, how many games has Lamar Jackson missed the last two years? A bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody that was clamoring for Lamar Jackson, like you and I were both saying, future Chicago Bear Lamar Jackson, future Washington Commander. I don't know that I want Lamar Jackson.
What I didn't realize was that it wasn't because we were going to go sign Lamar Jackson for a maxed out contract. It was because we were just going to go to Walmart, buy some supplies, and build our own Lamar Jackson in Chicago and hope for the best.
Yeah, I don't know. But going back to those coordinators, which is what we were talking about, I think they both would do a good job in Washington, but Eric Bieniemy, it really does seem like he is going to have to make that lateral move, as you mentioned, and do a good job where he goes to get another shot.
I think Matt Nagy might have accidentally ruined people's perceptions of taking an Andy Reid coordinator a little bit too. Because that's why I didn't want Bieniemy two years ago.
People keep taking Bill Belichick coordinators, and they all suck, except for Mike Vrabel.
When's the last time they did that? You get a couple that end up stinking?
McDaniels with the Raiders. They just picked him up again last year.
That's the Raiders. That's McDaniel, that's not an NFL team.
That's McDaniel 2.0.
it feels like occasionally you get like a couple that work, and then people want to, and then like one or two that really stink, and suddenly everyone's scared again. People go, oh, Matt Nagy was really bad. Maybe it's just Andy Reid. Maybe his coordinators aren't any good. Maybe it's Andy Reid that works. And then that happens.
I'm just saying there's been a hell of a lot of people swinging and missing on head coaches without swinging and missing on some of the obvious ones. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury.
Had a losing record in college.
Well, and who did the Cardinals fire after 1 year to get Cliff Kingsbury? Steve Wilks. Sorry, black coach. See ya. We're gonna go get this guy.
You don't have cool. You don't have cool shades that you wear on the sideline in a dome for no reason.
I'm just. It'll be interesting to see how that all pans out. I would take either one of them, honestly, as a Washington fan. But dynamically, I look what Washington is trying to build on the offense. And if they can get their offensive line back to where they should be, that should be a really salty offense. That should be a lot of fun with the right guy. But, you know, we'll see if he wants the job. I think if he wants it, he'll probably get it.
Part of the problem, too, you move to Washington, not to insult Washington by any stretch. But part of you, in your brain, are you thinking, man, but the only problem is the way I'm getting a head coaching job is my stats, right? My offense has to statistically be good. Because for some reason, GMs and owners aren't big on the eye test. They all want numbers in front of them because they'd rather hire a stat nerd than just use their eyeballs. And will Washington's offense maybe drop a couple of points per game than if they, say, played in any other division that didn't have three returning top 11 defenses from this season? That's six of your games next year. You've got to play the number two defense.
Yeah, but is it going to be that way again next year?
We don't know.
Let's remember that they weren't even supposed to be that this year.
I think we all thought their defense would be good.
The NFC East was supposed to suck this year.
We all thought Dallas's defense would be good. And then they accidentally scrambled their way to some wins they didn't deserve.
Well, it's because they've got Quinn. They're lucky they kept him on as a defensive coordinator.
And then this one, I will say none of us saw coming, but kudos to the New York Giants defense for being, except against the run. They were really bad against the run this year.
Well,
but in points allowed, they were top 11.
They did more with less than probably any other staff.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to look at the draft, because I love the draft. I throw a party. And you came last year. You were brand new to the Valley, pretty much.
Yeah, I wore a Bears jersey despite them not having a draft pick. It was super fun.
Well, it's I've been doing this for over 20 years now, and you know it's I don't know if you call it much of a party. It's just we get together and eat fattening things and talk football.
What you are about to now that you finished describing it, but is literally what a draft party is.
Okay, all right. Well, good. Well, just based on how bad my team usually is, I'm usually excited about the draft because that's what I get to talk about. This offseason has potential to be awesome because not only does Washington have their normal slate of picks, but the ones that they lost because they moved to get Carson Wentz, they should get a third round compensatory for losing Sheriff to the Jags, mm-hmm. and then I think they were going to get another one for a couple of compensatory picks. But
oh, by the way, before we move entirely off of it and go on to draft stuff, did you see any of the social media drama, by the way, with Juju Smith-Schuster trash-talking James Bradberry, who already owned up to, yeah, you know what, don't blame the ref, that was on me, I grabbed the jersey.
Well,
that's my, and Juju said, that's free reigns to just start taking shots at him for no reason.
Well, not only that, Bradberry, I think, won that exchange.
James Bradberry just replied with, I believe it was, congratulations, little bro, and then a link to him being voted to the All-Pro team, which Juju Smith-Schuster never has been.
And also, it's like, you know, it's nice that Mahomes resurrected your career.
That was A.J. Brown, who came in to defend his teammate.
Oh, okay.
And I was about to say, James Bradberry with the calmest, coolest, collected, you know what, congratulations. Anyway, here's a link to I was voted to the All-Pro team. And then he just left it be. That was his whole response. A.J. Brown was the one who brought some fire.
That's true.
And said, you're going to talk to my teammate like that? Fine. Here comes 9 tweets in a row, all of them full paragraphs, calling you a this and that. And I said, A.J. Brown to the rescue. And like, Are you gonna go fight A.J. Brown? No.
I was laughing at some of the things that came out of the game, though, because Annie Agar, I don't know if you follow her on Twitter, she's hilarious. She does this league meeting thing. It's just her changing shirts and pretending to be, but she's hilarious. Anyway, but part of that little skit that she did this week was they were talking about Kadarius Toney It's like, so Giants, you know, what did you get for Kadarius Toney anyway? You know, like a slight. And then as the Giants person, like, well, technically we drafted him to beat the Eagles. So that was actually, we got that one correct. Just kind of some funny things. Anyway, that one jumped in my head. But yeah, Kansas City, they trade Tyreek Hill and they pick up a poo-poo platter of cast-offs. Maybe poo-poo platter's a bit strong. But
I'm not in love with their receivers.
But Smith-Schuster, Valdez, Scantling, Kadarius Toney. I mean, these are all guys that had kind of run their course where they were. And Toney was a bust. He was a bust in New York. Maybe he still is. But he's going to get a Super Bowl ring, and he caught two touchdowns in the friggin' game. It's just nuts to me that they can get rid of someone that good, and then their offense gets better statistically, and they win the Super Bowl. I'm blown away by that. By the way, don't hire the offensive coordinator as your next head coach, because he's black.
I also enjoyed Melvin Gordon tweeting a picture of himself smoking a cigar in the Chiefs locker room to celebrate his Super Bowl victory. And so someone in the post game asked him, well, you know what, you know, you were celebrating with the team in there. What is it you felt like you brought to the table as a practice squad player this year? And he said, I didn't do anything, to paraphrase. I got carried and then continued smoking his cigar. Like, all right, that one got a chuckle out of
me. Hey, at least he's self-aware. So,
and I'm not going to lie, though. Like, congratulations on winning the Super Bowl or whatever. Juju out there on social media going after all the Eagles.
Yeah, you should probably shut up.
You are like one step above Melvin Gordon. Like, take Juju Smith-Schuster off the Chiefs. Are they going to not win the Super Bowl? No, they're just going
to
replace...
I would honestly rather have Melvin Gordon, because if I need to put in a running back, I know at least he's going to give me some yards.
Juju Smith-Schuster could have been replaced by any random fan in a Chiefs jersey in the stands, and Patrick Mahomes was going to get him to 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
Like,
they just would have went and found some random player that was a practice squad from somewhere else. That's what they do. But yeah, heading to the draft, you obviously are excited because the Bears have all of this momentum off-season-wise. Had the worst record, but they get the first pick. They have all this cap space. Let's say someone comes in and offers them a bunch of stuff to move down, which is probably what's going to happen. There seems to be, we've talked about this in our...
That's the dream.
Well, and that seems to be what we've talked about even in previous podcasts. Is there's a lot of teams that are just blatantly desperate. They're not even hiding it.
The Colts are my favorite team in the league right now. So, first of all, choking to Houston to give us number one. And then coming out and your GM says, yeah, I would move heaven and earth to move up to go get a quarterback.
Just looking at the teams that are behind them.
Like, way to play the game.
So the Texans are number two. They don't have a quarterback. The Cardinals are number three. They don't have a quarterback.
They're not drafting one, though. They're going to let Murray ride his course. I have to imagine. If they draft a quarterback, though, thank you, Cardinals.
DeAndre Hopkins
and third overall, maybe a fourth round pick. You can move up and take Bryce Young.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised, because there's no way that Kyler Murray is starting the season next year. No way. In fact, I'll bet he misses at least half the year. And big deal if he does. It's not like he was doing that well anyway. I'm just saying, the Cardinals could. Number four, the Colts. Holy crap, they need somebody.
Yeah.
And
they're not being shy about it.
Yeah, they're in holy crap mode. Number five, Seattle. They got Geno Smith and Drew Lock, for whatever that means.
I have to say, I think Seattle, Detroit, and Arizona have to be the biggest question marks of... Well, maybe, but surely not. But maybe.
Yeah. Number six is the Lions. They're set. Jared Goff had a much better year. He had a year that no one's talking about. He had a really good year.
He did. But right there with Seattle, that's why I said they're the maybe, but surely not, but maybes.
In fact, I think the Lions win the North next year.
You got a quarterback coming off a career season. But you have to try to get into the mind of the GM, and you say, I, as a fan, would go, well, I mean, Jared Goff / Geno Smith just got me 30 touchdowns and low interceptions and high 3,000 yards. We had a great offense. Surely I'll just stick with them for now until they prove that they should. But, like, is there any part of a GM that is still looking at them and going, that was a great year we got out of Geno Smith / Jared Goff? But they are still named Geno Smith and Jared Goff. Maybe I draft a quarterback.
See, I guess I don't view those two guys as being in the same category. Geno Smith is like 10 years older.
So much disrespect for Geno.
I guess I give him credit for sticking around.
I think he's only 3 years older, by the way.
I give him credit for sticking around, but Goff is right in the prime of his career.
I think Smith was 2013, Goff was 2016.
And Goff has already done more in his career than Smith probably will in his.
Those are
my opinions. Anyway, but what I'm saying is there's a ton of teams that might be willing to move up. You got the Raiders at number 7. They don't have anyone.
The most recent mock I saw, I would be very excited for this. I believe it was ESPN mocked that the Colts would trade up to 1 and the Bears would receive in return number 4 overall, number 35 overall in round 2, a 5th round pick, and a 1st round pick next year.
Wow.
And that was the... And, you know, you hear that and you go, if I'm the Colts, there's no way I'm doing that. But have you, like, I keep seeing the articles. They're like, every other team, even the ones that are already in the top 10 that have moved up to number 1, have you seen the stuff that has been given up in the past? The precedent has been set,
yep,
is essentially what they're saying. They're like, yeah, it seems like too much to us. But if the Colts GM just says, you know what? I like Bryce Young. I need Bryce Young. The Colts GM would give up a ridiculous number of things for Bryce Young.
Yeah.
And that's just how these GMs are.
So we're only the number 7. And we've already pointed out, what, 5 of the 7 teams probably need a quarterback? Or wouldn't be surprising. Number 8, Falcons. Yeah, they need one. Marcus Mariota is a placeholder quarterback at best.
Though they just took one in the first round. The Cincinnati kid. Last year. What's
right.
a first-round
Ritter.
Pick?
You're right. Ritter. You're right. So I guess the jury's still out on him. Carolina needs one. They're the next one. Who's their quarterback? Darnold?
Now, we're saying all this. Obviously, we went into this already with the precedent of this is ridiculously early, but there are also some free agents buzzing around. Some of these teams are going to fill their
gap. But what I'm saying is I'm feeding into your frenzy.
Yes.
I think there are a ton.
I'm wiping the foam away from the corners of my mouth.
I think there's a ton of teams in the top 10, which means they already feel like they don't have to give up quite that much, even though they are, to move up.
If we can snag a receiver from one of these teams too, that would be my extra little...
Yeah. Well, and then like sitting there at 11, the Titans.
They don't have a receiver to give us, though.
Well,
boo.
But I'm...
Boo you, Tennessee.
And then 13, the Jets. The Jets famously need a quarterback that leaves people's mothers alone.
Sentence we've been saying since 1974.
Anyway, I'm excited for the draft. My team picks number 16. Supposedly, we're going to roll with Sam Howell. I'm actually good with that. We'll see what happens. I think he's better than anybody that's coming out right now. At least we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the draft coming up, exciting times. And now
I'd say, just based on what they were pre-draft, I'd probably rather have Bryce Young, I think, than Howell. But we haven't seen Bryce Young play in the NFL yet. And we've only seen Sam Howell throw, what, single-digit passes
at Washington? But at least he's played an entire season with a franchise.
Yeah.
And his teammates and his coaches have an opinion on him. They're not like...
Which we assume is positive.
It isn't like, oh, we picked Josh Rosen number 7 overall, and 6 years later, we still don't know if he should be an NFL quarterback or not. You know? He shouldn't, by the way. But this story kind of is interesting. Calvin Ridley, remember him? Wide receiver for the Falcons?
Why, I sure do.
Well, he was suspended, obviously, for quote-unquote gambling. Supposedly, he bet $1,500 on something. Which is weird because the gambling...
According to him, it was on the Falcons winning football games.
Yeah, I think it was actually on themselves winning.
While he wasn't playing, by the way. This was during his sabbatical that he took for mental health reasons.
Yeah, so...
I got to say, though, it's kind of an odd look to say, you know what, I really need to work on my mental health stability, so I decided to go start gambling.
Well, it's no different than anybody else, I guess. But I just, it's interesting because there was a lot of people using this guy as an example when the whole Deshaun Watson thing was getting kicked around because he seems like a genuinely terrible person. And he got suspended for less than Calvin Ridley did for betting on a team to win that he plays on and was not playing. It seemed a bit excessive. Well, he's not even on the Falcons anymore. Now he's on the Jaguars because they had a trade. The Falcons got a fifth round and a conditional fourth round that could be as high as a second should the Jaguars sign Ridley to an extension. I think it's a great trade for the Jags. I like Ridley. I think he's a good receiver. But,
a heck of a route runner.
But he has filed to be reinstated, I guess is what I'm saying. That's some news coming out of today.
Which many people seem to be just taking as a foregone conclusion that, all right, he already served a full year suspension. I feel like the NFL is just going to go ahead and say, yep, back you are.
It'd be shocking to me.
If they told him no.
If they told him no.
After they let Josh Gordon reinstate four times.
How many times? Yeah. The revolving door of Josh Gordon.
And can I also say, I liked Christian Kirk. He was on my fantasy team last year. He is a fine wide receiver. But poor Trevor Lawrence. That was his number one receiver that he's had in 2 years in the NFL, was he got 1 year of Christian Kirk. And he made Christian Kirk look really good.
Yeah.
He had Christian Kirk over 1,000 yards. That was his number one receiver. Like, I have a friend who's just a big old... He is to Trevor Lawrence what I am to Joe Burrow. So there should be some little rivalry there in my brain of my quarterback. But at the same time, the football fan in me just feels sorry for Trevor Lawrence. Like, please get him a Calvin Ridley.
I don't feel bad for him.
As a quarterback, we'll just...
I grew up watching football with quarterbacks who maybe never had a receiver as good as Christian Kirk in their whole career. I'm not... I don't like the feel sorry for him game. Sorry, the entire league history is littered with wasted talent.
Sure, but do you not say, well, if you liked that quarterback, you would feel sorry for him that he got wasted in such a way. I like Trevor Lawrence just fine. And you look at what everyone else has in the AFC, Justin Herbert, unless they cut Keenan Allen, because we're hearing all those reports about their he had Allen, he had Eckler. He had Mike Williams. You got Patrick Mahomes as Travis Kelce had Tyreek Hill. You got Joe Burrow up there with his... It's Joe Burrow and the Pussycats. His just slew of wide receivers. You got Lamar Jackson even as Mark Andrews. Josh Allen has Stephon Diggs. And then, all right, Trevor, go win us a Super Bowl if you could. Win the AFC. You may have Christian Kirk, and if you're really nice, we'll also let you throw to Marvin Jones.
And he almost did it.
He almost did.
They almost beat the Chiefs. So,
ugh.
Which is a game that when you keep going back to, I know you've mentioned this, like that was a very winnable game.
Yes, that was the... I mean, frankly, the Bengals should have knocked them out too because the Chiefs didn't play well in that game. But the problem is both of the games in which the Chiefs played poorly, their opponents also showed up and played poorly.
Yeah.
And I guess that's just how the NFL works from time to time.
Well, we've talked a lot about... So what else do you want to talk about?
Well, we had the Michael Jordan donation today to Make-A-Wish. Professional baseball's right around the corner, Dal, with its stupid new rule changes, with its bigger bases that look like pizza boxes.
The bigger base thing irritates me. I actually like the guy on second next to anything.
I don't.
But I don't like the newer... They're huge!
Yeah,
pizza boxes. That's a great way to put it.
I actually find that the extra runner kind of nullifies the excitement of extra innings because it changes the way that teams hit. There are teams that will straight up come up to the plate. The first batter of the extra innings will bunt, and the second batter is hitting a sac fly, and then you're just playing an inning. All right, we took our one run, and now we're just going to play with one out. And so many teams just do it, and you know they're going to do it, and then you just sit there, eyes half open, going, all right, fine. Can you just give them two outs in their run, and we'll just skip to that part so I don't have to keep watching this on repeat all the time?
You don't have to keep watching, Aaron. Yeah, but what if the game goes to 17 innings?
You just keep on playing baseball, baby.
I'm actually fine either way.
But I hate the pitch clock.
I'm such a casual fan. I don't really care.
The pitch clock just seems like it's going to irritate me at least two or three times this year, where someone's going to be like 1 second late getting a pitch off, or a batter will step into the box with 4.9 seconds instead of five.
I agree with you on that, because baseball is the one last sport that has no time limit.
Mm-hmm.
Don't screw with that. It's what makes it unique.
Oh, and then the new rule. Did you see this got put in? MLB is going to crack down with new rules on letting position players pitch. You're only allowed to put a position player in the game if the game has gone 15 plus innings, if your team is down by 10 or more in the final inning, or your team is winning by 8 or more in the final inning.
You should be able to do whatever you want, whenever you want.
Why am I not allowed?
If I want to put a little person into bat, which happened apparently back in the day.
Yes, back the St. Louis Browns pulled that one off.
If I wanted to put him in.
He wore number 3/8.
If I wanted.
That was his actual
jersey. If I wanted
number.
To put him in because he's a tough strike zone, then I should be able to do that. I'm just. Yeah, I don't like all that. But I do want to touch on. Jordan, I feel like this is such a Jordan move. First off, $10 million is more money than most people will ever dream of. It is so much money. But to Michael Jordan and to LeBron James and those types of people, $10 million is just not very much money. It's just not. That being said.
About 10 games?
That being said, Jordan donating $10 million in commemoration of his 60th birthday to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which he has been a part of since he was a rookie back in 89.
And, wasn't he a rookie in 85?
Oh, you're right. Excuse me. He started being with the program in 89. So you're right. Sorry about that.
There's a very famous photo of him and Walter Payton in 85.
Yes.
Both.
Excuse me. That's a mistake on my part. But I just think it's kind of fun.
If only I wasn't negative 10 at the time. That would have been such a fun year.
It was a fun year. actually, the funnest year was the 72-win championship. I watched every game that season.
I meant for Chicago in general. You get to go, the 85 Bears are playing, and then as soon as they're done, I can turn on Michael Jordan basketball? What a time to be alive in Chicago. But, surely George Halas dying won't ruin all of this for everybody.
But what I like about this is everybody has been kind of having these arguments about LeBron James, who took over the scoring title from Kareem last week. And he's been very needy about it. It's like, I am the greatest player, blah, blah, blah. And then there's people who think Jordan's the greatest ever, which I'm in that camp. And it's like, the greatest don't have to say it. And that's kind of what I feel like this donation is. It's like, oh, you're talking about who's the greatest? Well, I'm just going to go ahead and donate $10 million, the single largest donation ever in this organization's history, on my 60th birthday to this, once again, this organization that I've been a part of for almost 40 years.
Mm-hmm. I will say this, though, on that debate, I'm starting to get to a place mentally where I just straight up go, am I going to convince a diehard LeBron James supporter? Am I going to be able to argue with him and convince him that he's been wrong this whole time and it's actually Jordan? Probably not. So I'm literally just getting to the point where as I see people arguing about LeBron versus Jordan as individual players, I just kind of go to bed that night thinking to myself, let's say that all these people out there believe that LeBron James is the greatest basketball player of all time. Is that going to unwin the Bulls 6 championships? No. All right, off to bed I go. Oh, we're going to play the clip, are we?
Why isn't it working?
It doesn't want you to. For those of you that can't see what's going on, Dal is trying to pull up a YouTube clip of the bad teacher scene where Steven Seagal screams at a small child, call me when LeBron wins 6 rings.
Yeah. And why is it not working?
Hey, he's got 3.5. I'm not here to just completely diss on LeBron, who I don't even like. I am by no means a LeBron James fan, but...
I'm such an idiot.
Perfectly respectable professional athlete.
You're out of your mind. There is no way that LeBron will ever be Jordan. Nobody will ever be Jordan, okay?
Okay, LeBron's a better rebounder and passer.
Will you let me finish? Can you let me finish? Call me when LeBron has 6 championships.
Is that your only argument?
It's the only argument I need, Sean!
Done. It is the only argument you need. We've gone over this before, and I've kind of gone into it. If you want a greatest sports human being, go talk to LeBron. He's been married to the same woman for however long. His kids like him. He doesn't have a string of you know, sluts from one coast to the next that has, you know, I'm saying he doesn't have like 20 kids from 20 different women is what I'm saying. He's built a school. He's educated a bunch of people. First off, he came in with more hype than any professional athlete, perhaps, other than maybe Tiger Woods, ever. It's like, and one of my first sports columns I ever wrote was, I feel sorry for LeBron James because he'll never live up to the hype. Well, guess what he did? He surpassed it. But if you're saying who's the greatest basketball player of all time, I'm not talking talent, I'm not talking any of that, I'm talking overall encompassing.
He's on the logo. He's on the NBA logo.
That's Jerry West. It's not LeBron.
Oh, you're talking, I was thinking of the logo of Jordan literally dunking.
Oh yeah, his no, that's his logo. The NBA logo is Jerry West. The guy dribbling?
Yes, the guy dribbling. Isn't that the All-Star game? Don't they have the Jordan logo on like all the corners?
I don't know.
Quarters?
Maybe they do. But if you're talking just stone cold, I will win this game. Screw you and your family and everyone in your league, and this is all that matters.
It's basketball Tom Brady.
It's Michael Jordan. It's not even close. In fact, I would bet Michael Jordan has like 2 good friends.
They're not even from the Bulls either.
No. Well, Charles Oakley's one of them probably. So, I mean, he was on the Bulls. But I just... Yeah. I'll bet he has like 2 good friends. It's because he wants to win that much.
Have you heard...
He's Batman.
Have you heard the story of the old Bulls guard who, on family night, my dad tells me this one all the time... They were doing the interview. All the Bulls players, the starting lineup, brought their kids. Because it was family night at the United Center. This was in 97. My dad and my Uncle Tim went to the game, and they're interviewing the kids. And one of the Bulls guards' kid comes up, and the announcer says, blah, blah, blah. You know, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a policeman. Oh, yeah, you want to be a policeman? That's awesome. You know, your dad here plays for the Bulls, huh? Yep, and I don't remember which player it was, but then he goes, who's your favorite basketball player? Michael Jordan.
Well, even look at this last playoff run.
He didn't pick his dad.
Yeah, but look at this last playoff run. Peyton Manning, like the Manning kids are wearing Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes jerseys. They're not wearing Peyton Manning jerseys.
Hey, but Peyton Manning once said that his dad was his favorite football player.
Yeah, I just...
That couldn't have been easy in
anyway,
the 70s.
I think it's funny that Jordan, with one donation, kind of reminded the world, I don't have to tell you that I'm the best ever. By the way, here you go, Make-A-Wish. Go get yourself something nice.
By the way, your Josh Allen might be getting some reinforcements here.
Ooh, what are you hearing?
So Ian Rappaport is reporting that Adam Henry has been hired as the Bills' new wide receiver coach. This is pure speculation, but Adam Henry happens to own a home that is right next to, he is neighbors with Odell Beckham Jr., and was Odell Beckham Jr.'s wide receiver coach at LSU. And people are speculating. One of those, we want a player, so we're bringing in his best friend hires?
I would rather have Keenan Allen than Odell Beckham Jr.
Maybe, but I'm just saying, the possibility exists that they get neither. So yeah. This is a step to getting...
Yeah, it's true.
some form of receiving. And again, I, you know, you're on that boat. I'm not really on the boat of the Bills need more receivers.
I guess I feel like they need, when it comes to the most of their games, no, they don't. When it comes to the end of the season, they need more weapons. I don't know what the right combination is, but they do.
I feel like it's the defense.
Well, there's that too.
I mean, Buffalo, you just talked about the Eagles. Well, you gave up 38 points in the Super Bowl. And we talked about that too. You said the turning point was Jalen Hurts' fumble. It's so hard for me to blame Jalen Hurts for any percent of that loss when he was the one that the work.
Yeah, he also had like 5 touchdowns. So,
and you know, you can go back through all our podcasts. You weren't a huge Jalen Hurts fan.
I'm still not.
I was a massive Jalen Hurts doubter this entire time. That Super Bowl really did show me something from Jalen Hurts that made me go, you know what? In hindsight, in the grand scheme of things, who am I to tell Jalen Hurts that he's not a good NFL quarterback
when he's out here throwing
5 touchdowns? And
he didn't throw 5.
Didn't throw 5, but he ran for 3 of them.
Yeah.
Threw 2.
And then it was a nice talking point, people reminding the viewers, oh, by the way, he squatted 600 pounds, which is why, wow, that quarterback sneak was very effective. You think so?
By the way, speaking of controversial, and it's not because refs just don't call this, I have to go and Google it every year. Every year, because teams do it. And I say, did they change that rule? The pushing and pulling the ball carrier
rule?
Yep,
they did.
They never did.
Well, they certainly changed how they enforce it.
That's what I was saying. That's still in the rule book, officially. I Google it every year. That's still illegal.
Yeah, now.
And they never call it.
Well, you can't pull them still.
You can't. Well, no. Even officially, the rule states if he's the player you're in primary contact with, you can't, like, grab the ball carrier by his back and just push him. And the way that teams get away with it is, I guess referees must say, he's pushing the pile. He's not pushing the ball carrier.
I'll tell you what.
But, like, no. Some
we started calling it cornholing because. Yes. The quarterback would go in to do this, and then they're being blatant about it now. They're just pounding
the
quarterback from behind.
Bleacher Report
to push him into the end zone.
Wrote an entire article about it this summer.
It's like it's like watching Shawshank, man.
The article was titled The Most Ignored Rule in Football. And yes, it's still in the rule book. You cannot push the ball carrier as the primary point of your contact.
They certainly do.
Forward.
It's blatant now.
The Bills run the one where Gabe Davis just grabs both of Josh Allen's butt cheeks and just goes for a ride.
Yeah. Like. Well, those touchdowns in the Super Bowl. I mean, like I said, it was like Jalen Hurts was in cell block C. He was just getting absolutely just rhino charged into the end zone or for the first down.
And what an odd stat, by the way, that Jalen Hurts joined one other quarterback as the only two quarterbacks with multiple rushing touchdowns in the Super Bowl. And think of all the
who's the other one?
Think of all the quarterbacks that have played in a Super Bowl. John Elway played in Super Bowls.
Steve Young.
You had Patrick Mahomes in Super Bowl. Yeah. In this modern Russell Wilson. All these guys that are mobile quarterbacks, you know who the only other multi-touchdown rushing quarterback
is?
In the
Super Bowl? Tom Brady?
It was Jim McMahon.
Really?
In 85. He had 2 QB sneaks.
I did not know
that. In Super Bowl 20, which is the primary dissension point for a lot of Bears fans. Some people say, you know what? William Perry scoring was fun, but we should have given it to Walter. I said, no, give that one to Perry. We didn't need to QB sneak twice if we wanted to give Walter Payton a touchdown.
You know what? You guys just need to get over it. You won the friggin' Super Bowl. Boo frickety who. Well, do you want to know what's more tragic? That the guy died in his 40s. That's a hell of a lot more tragic than he didn't get to score a touchdown. He's the greatest running back of all time.
Here's my thing, Dal. He's my favorite player in NFL history. Would this have been going through my mind the year after they won the Super Bowl? Not even slightly. I'd have just been going, we won the Super Bowl. The fact that it's been 35 years, we are now allowed to look back in time and go, wouldn't it have been great for his legacy if Walter Payton could have scored?
They probably thought they were going to be right back there.
And Mike Ditka, with the very surreal, unfortunate reply when they've asked about it later.
Like, yeah, I probably should have.
Yeah, and he just said, man, I didn't think about it.
Like I said, look how loaded that team was.
We were winning by 30. surely it wouldn't have mattered to me. I would have given it to him four times in a row, and if we didn't score, whatever. We were up by 30. It didn't matter to me, but I wasn't thinking. And the fact that Mike Ditka feels bad about it is so... How many things do you think Mike Ditka has ever felt bad about in his entire existence?
Probably just that.
And, you know, Walter was just a respected guy. People liked him.
Well, so. I like him a ton. It's not that big a deal.
It's not. It's just a thing Chicago fans like to talk about.
And like
about.
I said, they probably thought they'd be right back there the next year.
They probably would have been if Charles Martin didn't commit the most blatantly... Don't shrug your shoulders at actual attempted manslaughter.
It happened.
He had a hit list with Jim McMahon's number on it, and then he broke McMahon's shoulder on purpose and confessed to it.
You act like I'm condoning this. I'm not.
That cost us a Super Bowl. And
no,
so,
you don't get to say that. You don't get to say that.
You beat Chicago. Your Washington Redskins, beat Chicago by 7 when we had, what was his name? Steve Fuller at quarterback? And you're telling me with Jim McMahon, the Bears don't score one additional touchdown in that game?
You're like the king of revisionist history.
Steve Fuller is who you beat in that playoff
game. The best
game.
Ability is availability.
Oh, yeah. Jim McMahon didn't have any of that.
Yeah.
He was broke all the time. So, but at least it wasn't normally on purpose.
You think I'm going to apologize for any of our postseason victories? You're out of your friggin' mind.
To be fair, I think Washington ended up getting slapped by New York the next week.
Yeah, the Giants won it that year. That
I'm not
year.
Positive that we wouldn't have. Although, here's the thing.
If it wasn't what's-his-name, Lawrence Taylor would have killed him.
I was about to say, we'd actually beat New York in week one of that season for what tiny, small amount that is physically possibly worth. But
it's not.
Probably not much.
Wow, we talked a whole hour about nothing.
Odell Beckham to the Bills confirmed. You heard it here.
I don't want him. I don't want him, but if he gets 10 touchdowns and they win the Super Bowl, I will shave my head. That sounds fun, right?
It's unfortunate that the Chiefs had to be the boring team that we all knew, like, status quo and won it. But to be fair, I'm still super excited for the next 5 to 10 years.
Oh, man.
About watching.
AFC especially looks so fun.
Both of us are fans of NFC teams, so we don't have to be worried about it is the best part. It's not like we're like, oh, my God, the Bears have to get through Buffalo and Cincinnati and KC every year. Like, no. I just get to watch that and enjoy it, while the Bears and Commanders get to say, all right, so we got the Eagles.
The Commanders have to get by themselves first.
Well, both of our teams kind of do, but let's assume they both successfully rebuild and then they win 12 games. And all right, we're thinking playoffs now. Who do we have to get through? Well, the 49ers, who may or may not be dead at the end of
the
every
Eagles.
Year, because they always are. Maybe the Eagles.
Dallas.
All right. That doesn't sound that bad. I could be Trevor Lawrence over in the AFC.
That's
going,
oh, boo-hoo. Bunch of whiners.
There's going to be a couple. I'm going to call them the Philip Rivers of this AFC.
There might be.
And it's because I don't even, you know, people talk about that sometimes where they like to call certain quarterbacks choke artists or they couldn't win the big one. When you look at what they actually did in their career in the playoffs, and they were in no way responsible for any of their losses. Philip Rivers was a baller in the playoffs.
Well, Philip Rivers is probably a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Philip Rivers, let's just go here. If he played in an era that didn't have Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Ben Roethlisberger hogging all the Super Bowls, you think if Philip Rivers played in the 70s, in the 80s? I mean, he gets one, right?
Maybe.
One of the years where Pittsburgh and San Francisco didn't win it. You're like, he would have had a shot, but he played in the era where Tom Brady was in the AFC title game every single year forever, and then Pittsburgh was good because they're Pittsburgh, and Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning, and Philip Rivers is going,
what's a guy got to do?
I'm like the third best quarterback in the entire world right now for like a 5-year stretch, and I can't even get to the conference championship game. What is this BS?
Yeah, there might be some of that. I hope it's not Josh, honestly.
You know, and I'm definitely in the board of there's a lot of Bills fans whining about the potential. Is our window like already almost over?
No, it's not.
I think as long as Josh Allen is there, you're a playoff team every year. And as long as you're a playoff team, you have a window. It might be smaller. You might have a little crack of a window instead of a big gaping, you know, church pain. But it's a window. It exists. They might have to, you know, it's I think Bill Belichick once said the Patriots didn't rebuild, they reloaded. The Bills might be like a year or two away from maybe not a rebuild, but they probably will have to reload here shortly.
Well, I think they need to do something fairly big this offseason, like we've talked about. Go go get Saquon Barkley. Go get Tony Pollard.
And you know, we're talking about
all that.
Go get
Keenan Allen.
I think the biggest thing is health and that defense. I mean, let's not pretend like we weren't sitting here last offseason. All of America, we all came to the agreement. We all said, oh, well, Buffalo's the best team in football. Look at that team.
Well, they
got
Josh.
They have Von Miller. They got that. All these defensive players. They got these receivers. And then, whoopsie daisies, six of their 11 defensive starters missed both their playoff games because they were hurt. And we just went,
yeah, maybe they'll reload and, and just win the whole thing next year. You never know.
And, you know, the big thing is going to be if Von Miller comes back.
Which I think he is.
And he's extended. Will modern medicine strike again? Or is Von Miller to the point where he's at an age where injuries slow him down? And he'll come back and he'll be like a 9-10 sack guy. Or can he come back and be like, you know what, never mind. I was healthy this year, so I became Von Miller and I got 17 and a half sacks.
To me, that they don't even need him during the regular season. They need him.
Just put him on the practice squad for 18 games and then pull him up at the... You, bubble wrap, stay in shape. You're going to practice, but you do not get hurt.
Someone go take Von out of the cage. He's got a game this week.
We got to play the Chiefs or Bengals in a playoff game. Right. Now Von Miller is allowed to come play football.
And then he's like Wolverine.
You know, because, you know, we talked about it when he got hurt, that we thought it would impact them. And we still kind of brushed it off, right? Like, we're still like...
It was huge, though.
Go back...
He went from like 6th to 26th in pass rush.
I watched the game they played against the Chiefs back again when Josh Allen did the hurdle and then the touchdown to Dawson Knox. And great ending. They beat Kansas City in Kansas City. You know what stood out in that game? Oh, my goodness. Patrick Mahomes is being molested on every play. Like, seriously, Buffalo didn't have a pass rush worth anything at the end of the year.
Nope, they didn't.
And Von Miller, I think, had 2 sacks in that game.
Yeah, I think he did.
And even when he wasn't sacking him, someone was getting through that line and tickling Mahomes right on his chest plate and saying, Gucci, Gucci, Goo. Overthrow Travis Kelce because I'm right here.
I'm almost here.
And he said,
yeah, well, they had a parade today, so it didn't matter.
No, but for Buffalo's sake, that's what we're saying. Maybe they just need to stop getting hurt all the time.
Well, there's that, too.
And Josh, if you could not injure your throwing elbow
and
in the future.
I would love them to get a really big dynamic running back. That would be awesome.
And here's the thing. Now, they keep trying it, so maybe they just need to go the free agent route and just say, what the heck. But, like, this is a stacked draft of running backs.
Yeah, well,
and teams are going to keep passing on them because teams have this theory.
Maybe
of,
that's what they'll do then.
Yeah, they just say, teams go, I can't take a running back in round one. Like, that's not how the NFL works anymore. So running backs just fall, and there might be Buffalo in round three going, looky here. It's Chase Brown from Illinois.
Yeah.
You might get him in round 4 or 5. Maybe in round one. A couple of mock drafts, I see him taking Jordan Addison, oddly, going your route of saying, you know what, more wide receivers. Wee. But, heck, if you're going to go offense round one, why not get that Texas kid, Bijan Robinson?
Yeah, Bijan Robinson.
Like, everyone's calling him Saquon Barkley, too. If he's healthier than Saquon Barkley.
I don't know. All I know is the draft is, what, April 27th, something along those lines?
And this coming weekend, opening weekend of the XFL.
Nobody
down.
Cares.
Are you excited?
We're out of time here.
For your DC Defenders?
Oh, yes. Go Defs.
I don't remember who they're playing. I know my Renegades are playing my brother and Kyler's most beloved Vegas Vipers. I will have to record that game and watch it when I return home, as I'll be helping you guys cover the basketball game in Evanston. So
that's right. You got to come down to E-Town, do a little work with us.
So even though Dal's not a huge fan of the minor league football leagues that keep taking place,
I'm still waiting for them to grab my interest. It's up to them.
What's hilarious is that, to me, this is the greatest year in the history of ever, because even if it's bad football,
it's football.
It's like pizza, right?
It's just funny. Yeah, they'll have that, and then the USFL.
I mean, literally back to back. They actually, the championship week of the XFL is opening week of the USFL. So it's just the NFL. I mean, literally, we didn't even get a week off. Straight into the XFL, straight into the USFL, and then boom, training camp opens up. It's the year of football, Dal. That's not even to mention that college football starts 2 weeks before the NFL does, so we'll be getting that sooner.
I love college football.
I think you're more the college football fan than I am, but I always enjoy college football because it's just the perfect weekend to me as a big football just glutton that I am. It's the perfect, you know, we just talked about football like pizza, even when... If the NFL is my deep dish pizza coming as my main course, to me, watching Notre Dame play on Saturday is my buffalo wings that they bring out right beforehand. And you're like, oh.
Ooh, those are good.
You're like, a little Notre Dame football to get me warmed up. And then, oh, it's Sunday tomorrow. And, ooh, red zone football's on literally all day. Oh.
I'm glad these other leagues are around, because I worry about you otherwise.
Yeah, I just sit in my room all depressed. People come on, they knock on my door. They're like, Aaron, I see that there are 5 plates of food untouched over here.
I see you're storing your urine in jars now. You're wearing Kleenex boxes on your feet. Are you okay?
Is it August yet? I need August.
It's February.
Oh.
Get out.
I will be leaving to live amongst the woods and live amongst the wolves until August comes back. No, Aaron, the XFL returns this spring. The what now? Like I'm emerging from the cave and I've seen sunlight for the first time.
All right, you're completely off the rails now. End the show. Let's go.
All righty. You can catch us on Spotify and on YouTube and on svinews.com.
Tell your friends.
Tell each and every one of them. Send them an email, just because. If you text them, we will know about it.
A Valentine's, a late one.
Yeah, a Valentine's card with $3 and a link to all of our podcast locations. See you all next time.